This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
In any nation, casting your vote is an act of civic responsibility. For millions of Iraqis, it was also an act of personal courage, and they have earned the respect of us all.
President Bush delivering the State of the Union address Wednesday at the U.S. Capitol. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott, and please forgive a little laryngitis.
Nothing to forgive. State of the Union address was expected to focus mainly on domestic issues, but the chamber was filled with people, some Iraqi, most U.S. legislators holding up ink-stained fingers.
Yes.
In honor of the Iraqi elections, which by most accounts went better than expected, both at the amount of violence and the amount of voter participation. Final results won't be known for a few days, but the United Iraqi Alliance has apparently won more than two-thirds of the votes counted so far. Prime Minister Alawi's ticket is running second. What do you see? What do you foresee happening there?
Let me before getting to the future, let me talk about what you were saying about the State of the Union. I was very much impressed, as most people were, at one of the moments in the State of the Union, which was totally emblematic of the whole war, or the way at least the administration hopes to present the war. Sitting up in the gallery with the First Lady were the mother of a Marine who had been killed in Iraq and an Iraqi woman who had risked her life to vote last Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I believe her father had been killed in Saddam Hussein's jails, too.
That's right. Yeah. And when President Bush called attention to them, they embraced to what you might call thunderous cheers and maybe a few tears as well. Now, about what happens now in Iraq, well, the next thing is to select 275 members of a transitional parliament, and in the course of doing that, to try to avoid a civil war with the Sunnis there in the heartland of Iraq. The word today is that the Sunnis, who led a boycott of the polls last Sunday, may be now ready to strike a deal to get a role in writing the Constitution, even if they didn't have anybody or not very many people in the assembly.
Well, what about Kurdish participation, which was reportedly high? What about what role did they play in the government?
Well, judging by the results so far, the Sunnis were a distant third in terms of votes cast. Mm-hmm. Clearly, in Baghdad at least, and possibly in other parts of Iraq as well, they did not vote in any great numbers. It's not yet clear to me whether it's because they wanted to boycott it for political reasons or whether they were simply afraid of being killed.
Kurdish participation was reportedly much higher.
Kurdish participation, they came in second. Mm-hmm. Behind the Shiites. And that's about it. I mean, we don't know very much about what the Sunnis got, but it looks like not very much.
Let me move to Social Security reform, which obviously is going to be a centerpiece of the term to come, at least certainly over the next few months. Did you hear any more details about the president's plans?
Well, not a whole lot. What you hear are ideas. The president is now barnstorming the country, talking up his ideas, but also saying, if you've got some other ideas, let me hear them. The principal idea, not yet planned, is that workers under 55 would be able to divert some unstated portion of their Social Security taxes into personal investment accounts, right? Mm-hmm. That would give them some sense of ownership. And I think that's very interesting because I think the purpose of that is more ideological than it is economic. Ownership is a synonym for getting the government out of people's lives, at least out of their economic lives. And so the president is going around saying, got any better ideas? He'd like to hear them. The question is, what to do if you don't get this personal account, or if you do get it, what happens to what it costs in order to bring that into effect? It's believed it might cost a transitional $2 trillion over 10 years if that were to happen. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people not ready for that, including a lot of Republicans.
Well, that's my next question you anticipate. How do you read the political response so far among not just Democrats who are universally, but many registering opposition, but Republicans as well?
Well, as you say, Democrats are pretty solidly against it. They've received this all very coldly. But then there are some Republicans expressing serious doubts about this. It is probably not doable, says Senator Peter Domenici. House experts, and all these things originate in the House. Mm-hmm. House experts like Mark Foley and James McCrary, who's chairman of the Ways and Means Subcommittee, are dubious about it. And so is the full committee chairman, Bill Thomas, who has said it's a dead horse.
Alberto Gonzalez has been confirmed as the new Attorney General of the United States, but 36 senators voted against the confirmation. They can count in advance. They knew it was mostly for the exercise. What do you make of that large demonstration of opposition?
Well, in the first place, it reflected the Democratic dissatisfaction with the answers that Gonzalez had given in the confirmation hearings on what his role had been in providing legal justification for abuse of prisoners in Iraq and Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. 36 votes is a lot of negative votes for a cabinet member who traditionally gets confirmed almost without much fight. Mm-hmm. But in this case, they thought they had a issue to make about the Attorney General, the importance of his respecting international law and human rights, and they thought they had something there. That there was Senator Kennedy, who said this is a sad moment for the Senate, but then Republican Senator Orrin Hatch said, give me a break, and on would they go.
Secretary of State Rice, of course, is on a trip to Europe and the Middle East. She met with Chancellor Schroeder, where they said, let's put this past behind us and worry about the future of Iraq together. She's meeting with the Russian foreign minister. She ruled out U.S. military action in Iran, but at the same time said the United States doesn't want to negotiate with Iran directly, unlike Britain, France, and Germany. Yeah. Is there another split here?
Well, you say ruled out, but you have to listen to this diplomatic person very carefully. Mm-hmm. She said military action is not on the agenda at this point.
At this point could change it the at next moment.
Point, at this point could change for the next moment. But mainly what she's been doing is to try to mend a lot of broken fences, mm-hmm, with France, with Russia, with Germany, though not with Spain, which had the temerity to pull its troops out of Iraq after that big Madrid railway bombing. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think she's going on to Israel, trying to nudge Prime Minister Sharon and the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas into resuming peace talks, to grease the way towards that. President Bush announced in the State of the Union that he's asking for a $350 million grant for the Palestinians to help promote reform.
Finally, Dan.
I know.
And Ingy the orangutan is on the front page of newspapers today. Here's an orangutan who predicts the Super Bowl winner 4 out of the last 5 times. What's your prediction?
Well, not being an orangutan, all I can say is, what is my prediction? Why Jacksonville? Are they still counting Florida votes in the last election?
I knew you'd slip it. Dan Shore.